The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Did it my way.
I think we're on the air.
We are now. Well, we're kind of.
Don't label us left or right. We are American. Not looking for a wall, but we came to fight. We are American. Somebody's got to stand up. Somebody's got to do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside. I am
good morning. 7-9.
Woo-hoo!
A little southern accent there. Just so.
I've got a zip.
It's just
zip,
like a politician, zip. You know. You just got to adapt and overcome. That's kind of what I'm saying. Never mind.
Wait, I thought that was just oodles and oodles of money.
Or was that, lion stash money? I can't remember which.
I thought politicians lied.
Well, you know what politics, you know, broken down in Greek means, right? Blood
sucking ticks.
Exactly.
I don't know what's going on here.
Today is Sunday, once again, and welcome to Sovereign Minds, the radio show. It's July 16th, 2023. I'm here in the studio, and I'm your host, Mark Kent, and we're in the great state of Jefferson with my sister, Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning, everybody.
There good morning. And then we have the kid that rocks 1 o'clock, faster speeding internet connection. We're having Cyber Dave Johnson.
Good morning.
He's back from assignment.
And other things.
Yeah, never mind.
Oh, we can tell the story. I don't mind telling the story.
He had a little overdose of antibiotics and started having auditory hallucinations last night. And so we've been kind of, you know, wondering if we're going to have to, you know, call somebody.
Had some of that good stuff.
Yeah. It's like you're not supposed.
I have to ask, what kind of doctor did you go to?
Dr. Boom Bombay.
Yeah, that horse doctor, he's got the stuff, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, he got the real thing.
Yeah, it's like I went there and got, for some ivermectin, man, and I ended up with some psilocybin, you know? Just saying, you know? Yeah. So, anyway. Got quiet all of a sudden.
Ain't nothing but a thing.
Yeah, so.
Like Bill Gates, I did not inhale.
If we start hearing things like, oh, and Krishna, Krishna, and
ding.
Exactly. Oh boy, all right. We're brought to you by Julie Foster. I'm not sure she'd want to claim us now, but Julie Foster, Allstate Insurance Agent, down in Red Bluff at 810 Main Street, 530-527-5534. She's the best and will take care of all your insurance needs.
Yeah, I have to give a plug in for her. I called her in regards to some insurance that nobody else would allow to be insured for an event that's coming up. And I don't know.
No problem, huh?
No problem. Said, give me this information, blah, 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 blah. It'll cost you about this, blah, blah.
She's like an insurance
and it's like,
guru.
Wow, cool. Yeah.
She's
thank
like,
you.
She's. I know that term's overused, but she's like a guru.
She's great. It's like, wow, cool. Costs a little bit, of course, because insurance isn't cheap in California, but.
What is cheap in California?
Nothing. Nothing.
The morals only thing, and principles.
No, the politicians are cheap. And they have cheap suits. Yeah. Empty cheap suits. Anyway, Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating, 530-605-9575. Licensed and bonded, crack master at Jeff Wurst down there.
Yep, Jeff Wurst on 273. He's the best at what he does, that's for sure.
Shout out to Marty McGill, clear
When you need the best, go to the worst.
Hey, that's pretty good. Yeah. Bad.
When you need the best, go to worst. Yeah. Better
great
than the, right. So mountaintopmedia.com. We've put on some three more shows this last week. I think we're starting to get a little bit of a stride there, get back into the groove based on the fact that this tax season was overwhelmingly out of control.
What's new?
I know. It's like every year, it's like, oh, here. Now, they keep adding stuff to make it more and more onerous so that people either don't know what to bring you, forgot what to bring you everything, or they can't find what they were supposed to bring you. Didn't know that they were supposed to bring you more stuff. So it makes it harder and harder to get these returns filed.
What do you mean you have to have that information to complete my tax return?
Stupid.
There was one the other day I called on, and she hasn't filed for many years, but anyway, she goes, oh, by the way, we had children back then.
Oh, you
think that might make a difference?
That is a pertinent, that's pertinent information we might need.
I thought that was kind of
funny. And you know, you just have to get patience. I'm getting better in my old age. I'm not the most patient man in the world, but I'm getting better in my old age to learn to just kind of, you know, just take a deep breath.
Well, I get calls all the time. You guys must be out of tax season. Yeah, okay, right.
There is no end to tax season. The only end to tax season is when we lock the door and walk away.
It's like the bookkeeping part. There's no end to it, you know?
And we're turning down clients because we just can't keep up. I just don't want to do it anymore. I don't want to work this hard, you know? I mean, crazy. So... I got a couple of clips here. I'm not sure what time our guest is coming.
10:30.
All right. So let's get these clips out of the way. Here's one on election integrity. Are we ready to go in there? All right. Cool. And, this is, from, Victor, David Hansen, and he explores the critical challenges to citizenship and voting integrity in the U.S., including the concerns around multiple ballots, rejection rates, and the implications of for election integrity. And we're kind of in the middle of that right now in our county and our country because, everybody knows Joe got 81 million votes and it's legitimate, right?
Sure it is.
There was no cheating. There was no FBI interference in Twitter and Facebook. They didn't withhold Hunter's laptop for a year before the election. They haven't been putting pressure on there to censor any conservative comments back into the social media. There was no 2,000 mules. There was no organized. Yeah, right. Okay. There was no. There was. You know. It's like, come on. There's the evidence is, and you hear from the left. There's no evidence. Yeah, there's no evidence if you put a sack on your head and jump in your closet and lock the door and with MSNBC on in your little radio.
Yeah, but even they are starting to say something, and the left still goes, no, there's nothing wrong with the machines. There's nothing going on. We shouldn't have to revisit it. You guys just, you know,
and Biden,
are snowflakes.
And there has never been more mental clarity from Joe Biden at this point either.
Well, and it's interesting, too, just how much we've seen from the FBI in regards to their complicit nature in all of this and all of these people. Nothing to see in Maricopa County? Nothing there?
Yeah.
Nah,
there's no evidence, man. You know, it's like,
we can't even find out who left the cocaine in the White House.
We don't have no, what do you mean evidence? There's no evidence.
So wasn't the last thing on that White House thing that they had fingerprints is what somebody ended up putting out on it?
No, they couldn't.
They got nothing. We don't know who it is. There's no suspects.
And then right after they came out with that, we're closing it. There's nothing to see here.
There's all kinds of cameras in the White House.
There's nobody in the area that has a track record of drug abuse and documented on a laptop that shows it all in fact.
No, originally they weren't in the White House, but, they were in the White House that day.
If they find a crack pipe. No, it's not really a crack pipe. It's some form of therapy. Yeah, therapy, that's it.
It identifies as a tobacco pipe, man. Come on.
We were practicing ancient peace pipe ceremonial things with Elizabeth Warren.
I never inhaled.
Oh, that was it. I never snorted. I never snorted that line.
That's a whole new connotation to the White House. Somebody brought party favors.
The White House. All right.
Yeah, it's a pretty fancy house.
All right, so here we go. We're going to play this. This is Election Integrity. We're getting carried away here. Here we go.
Ultimately, the redress to all these challenges of citizenship is voting. That we finally, through all the sermon drang, through all the controversy, we go to the polls and we vote. But unfortunately, what happens if people change the conditions of voting so that we lose confidence in the sanctity of our ballot? And that's been happening. Think for a minute that if you cash a check, if you get on an airplane, if you apply for a passport, you have to show an ID. But what if states say that's racist? Or what if ID laws are overturned so that people without any identification at all that connects them to a name on a ballot is gone? So then anybody can register and vote without ever proving who they are. Or what happens in California where every time you encounter a state agency, you are registered to vote. And the result of that might be multiple ballots are mailed to your home, 3, 4, 5 of them. And they may be filled out by other people. This is just not conspiracy talk. In the last election, for the first time in U.S. history, we had more people voting not on election day. Voting laws in key states were changed because of COVID. Certification of ballots was lax. And the result was that roughly 102 million people voted either through early balloting or absentee balloting. Okay, we understand that. 62-63% of the electorate. But the problem was this. Under traditional mail-in balloting or traditional absentee balloting, the rejection rate is anywhere from 4-6%. What is a rejection rate? That means that somebody did not have their full name on the ballot. They wrote Victor, not Victor Hansen, or they wrote Hansen, or they wrote Victor Davis. That ballot would be thrown out because it didn't match the signature. Or they did not put an address that was valid, or not an address at all, or they mailed it in way after the day the polls closed for those who voted in person. But when you change the voting laws, and you do it by, not by statute, but by administrative decree or judicial decision, or an impromptu choice on the part of a registrar the night of the election, and the error rate goes from 4-6%, in the case of 100 million plus ballots, down to 0.4 or 0.5, a magnitude of 10, then you're essentially saying that we're going to have 4-5 million ballots that would traditionally be rejected, but under our new system will be accepted. And under our new system is unique because we've never had this sheer quantity. And if you add one other disturbing qualifier to that statement, and the people who are changing this law feel that those who do not put their name on it in full or in you know, they don't have a full address, they're more likely to vote for a candidate or a proposition that they agree with. And so that casts doubt on the integrity of the election itself.
Yeah. Oh, I guess that was on that his was computer. That was a little weird. It's where's that coming from?
That was like Rod Serling kind of weird.
Yeah.
God, the antibiotics, man.
Hey, man, you got any more of those things? Huh?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you've just stepped into another dimension. Dimension of sight, sound, and of the mind. At the next stop sign, it's Twilight Vote.
Okay.
Where you end up with a geriatric old bastard in the White House again.
Oh, my God. And we have a song on one of the... let's see, when is that coming up here? Soon. So we can talk about that. But, I mean, it's just getting out of control. I mean, the latest one with chewing on the little girl in Sweden or Finland or wherever it was. It's like, what is up with that? I mean, good grief. All right. So I also want to cover the Sound of Freedom as well, doing very well at the box office. And we, you know, I have nothing against Indiana Jones. I love Indiana Jones, but now that Disney took it over, it's kind of like, I don't really want to help those guys out. But
so here's what I'll say about the Indiana Jones movie. They needed to make it woke. They needed to add in a female character to take over his lead role, and it was basically what was done in Star Wars when you ended up having the girl that ended up becoming the main star of the show.
And Luke became a bitter old man that lost everything and hated life?
Basically.
Oh, yeah.
And so
that's a great hero. That's the kind of hero you want to emulate, right?
Well, and that seems to be the problem. So they're killing off all of these old heroes and all of these people that, I mean, shoot, I grew up watching Indiana Jones. It was awesome.
I loved it.
That was an amazing show. It was pretty good. There was a few questionable things. Now you end up looking at the writing back in the day, but is what it is.
Right.
Well, the new one, this girl isn't likable at all. Like, at least in the Star Wars one, the girl was likable. It was lacking substantive story. In this, she's just not likable.
I haven't seen it yet.
So.
Well, what I have to say about it is that, you know, I was already turned off with Disney, whether it's Indiana Jones or whatever. But right. Do you realize that Disney is the one that stopped The Sound of Freedom?
Yeah, exactly.
From being
broadcast for 5 years.
Yeah, so I got a real issue with Disney.
Right. So I got this. This is the news here. Well, let's play this real quick, and we'll get this out of the way here, so we make sure we have time. Here we go. This is why the elites are panicking over this.
Good evening, and welcome to a special Cover Our Tracks report. Why are we on the left panicking over the movie The Sound of Freedom and the realities of child trafficking that it exposes? Why are Rolling Stone, The Washington Post, CNN, and other trusted outlets smearing the movie and creating a narrative that is fueled by crazy conspiracy theories? Well, in doing so, we realize it looks like we're trying to convince people that child trafficking isn't a problem at all in order to protect vile predators. And that kind of makes it seem like we have some kind of vested interest in child trafficking, almost like we support it. So tonight we'll be covering our tracks by telling you why Sound of Freedom deserves to be bashed and why we're not guilty of doing what we're actually doing. Starting with the facts. Sound of Freedom is based on the life of Tim Ballard, founder of Operation Underground Railroad, that sets up sting operations to rescue children from sex trafficking while putting predators in jail. To date, they've rescued over 7,000 children and helped to make over 6,500 arrests of predators. Pretty impressive statistics, considering child trafficking doesn't exist. Now to the movie. Released on the 4th of July, Sound of Freedom has come out of the gate as the number one movie in the country, beating out Indiana Jones that was backed by a mega budget of $300 million. Sound of Freedom was only backed by a budget of truth, and its success suggests that truth spreads and wins based on its own merit. But we believe the truth is worth less than money, and the reality that Sound of Freedom exposes isn't truth you can trust. That's why we're here to feed you lies that you can trust. Now, listen closely because the brainwashing is about to begin. Our working narrative that we're aggressively smearing the movie with is that it's based on QAnon-fueled conspiracy theories. Let's hear more. The now definitely not complicit in child trafficking Washington Post called Sound of Freedom a QAnon-adjacent thriller seducing America. Seducing America into what? Not caring about and being willing to stop the heinous abuse of children by the most vile predators on the planet? Yeah, trying to trick Americans into that isn't good for their interests. The Washington Post tries to discredit the film further by discrediting Operation Underground Railroad itself, by proudly stating that Glenn Kessler, the Washington Post fact-checker who has yet to find a single fact but keeps trying, found no evidence of Tim Ballard's claim that 10,000 children are smuggled into the U.S. each year for sex trafficking. You're doing God's work, Glenn, and also doing a great job of not finding what you're not looking for. The trusted news outlet also shares that in 2020, Vice News investigated Operation Underground Railroad, and though they found no falsehoods in their rescue claims, they did conclude that they have a pattern of image burnishing and mythology building, a series of exaggerations that are, in the aggregate, quite misleading. Provable facts and experiences are at the top of the list for things that are quite misleading.
This Justin! Just so you know, Vice News is now owned by George Soros, so feel free to do the math on why they're helping out society by helping protect traffickers. And the Washington Post hits a home run when they say, but the movie has nevertheless been promoted on QAnon message boards, and some accuse it of playing into the movement, which is based on the false belief that a highly organized network of global elites are kidnapping children, having sex with them, and harvesting their blood. Again, this is a false belief.
Stop it there. But wow. If you want to go see the whole thing, that's Awaken with JP, obviously. A little tongue-in-cheek there. QAnon, what?
Yeah.
It's like, really? So this whole, you know, I get so tired of this whole guilt by association thing, these people. So if somebody on a QAnon board, which I don't follow at all at this point, posts something that, you know, like, go see the movie Sound of Freedom, all of a sudden it's a QAnon conspiracy. Are you kidding me? That's what these people do. It's any way to discredit anything that argues with the narrative. Is there a problem with human trafficking? Is there a problem with child sex trafficking?
Yes.
By anybody who actually looks at any evidence at all, the answer is yes.
Well, and it's interesting because it's worse than that. On the Sean Ryan show, there was a interview recently with Jim Caviezel, who is the main actor in The Sound of Freedom. And interestingly, I think that interview is as powerful or more powerful than the movie.
Yeah.
Because he was actually able to just talk freely about the things that are going on, about his interviews that he had with the real people that are trying to stop this sort of thing. It's about three times worse than what was actually presented in the movie.
Yeah.
And one of the huge problems is, all right, so about 2 million children are involved in the sex trafficking, and a lot of the people who are doing it are in the United States. Well, also about 2 million children are being used for organ harvesting.
I haven't ran down that rabbit hole very far.
The interview is definitely worth listening to.
But would you be surprised if all that is true, the adrenochrome, all of it? Would you be surprised at this point?
Listen to the interview with him and Tony Robbins about the kid in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And all you got to do is look at, all right, so Ellen DeGeneres had a guest on her show. I forget who it was, but apparently it was a new face treatment for, I think it was Sandra Bullock. I'll have to see if I can look it up, but it was a child's foreskin that was needled into her face to be able to.
They said that on TV?
Yeah. Yeah, here, I'll find it.
Oh wow.
Okay, so I don't want to get too far down this rabbit hole. Hold on a second. I've got a Mel Gibson clip here that I want to play, so go ahead and.
Well, I was going to say this has to do with Mel Gibson, okay. How they say.
He just wanted to say about the Sound of Freedom. It's about. 30,
yeah, but this
seconds.
Is them.
Go ahead.
You know, for Ukraine, they actually saved 6,000 children out of Ukraine.
Right. I mean, so the fact that it is going on, to what degree, how severe, how evil does it go, I don't know the full extent of it. But to ignore this or badmouth people that are saving children, if nothing else, from human trafficking and sex slavery, if that alone is evil enough to warrant people to go and see this movie and become aware of it, because that's, you know, the other stuff you can figure out, or if we find out, whatever. But what I'm saying is, why would you, that in itself is, why would you brand that as being a problem? Why would you say that there's some kind of a QAnon theory of conspiracy? And you know something, at this point in time on conspiracies, I mean, I'm running an average of about 100% on the conspiracy theories. Everything that we have been told is a conspiracy theory, and that we're just right wing nuts. It turns out it's true.
And before we go to that, I just want to let you know the headline here. DOJ quietly removes child sex trafficking information from their website.
Well,
that's right on DOJ.
And recently we actually had testimony that said that they were pulling FBI agents off of very important cases.
And we know that for a fact because the FBI whistleblower out and out said he was one of the guys they pulled off and put on the January 6th.
Yeah. Well, and actually there was a new one that came out recently to where it was he was pulled off and not put on January 6th, but on parents at teachers' meetings.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so let me play this Mel Gibson clip real quick. It's just a little short here. I just wanted what he had to say about Sound of Freedom. I want to get it in there. Let's see if we can get it up.
No sound yet.
Hold on. Not, there it goes.
Nope.
No, no sound?
No sound.
We got no sound in there? All right, let's try it again. Is it at my... Oh, that's at mine. I got it. All right.
Now, the first step in eradicating this crime is awareness. Go see Sound of Freedom.
Okay, we're just going to come back to the front so we hear the whole thing here now. It's only about 10
seconds. One of the most disturbing problems in our world today is human trafficking, and particularly the trafficking of children. Now, the first step in eradicating this crime is awareness. Go see Sound of Freedom.
So, yeah. And then, like I say, it was just a shorty, but I wanted to get that in there because... You know, just the headlines that you just read, you know, and what we talked about. I've seen the clip interview with the FBI whistleblower. I mean, and we're going to try to say this is some kind of QAnon.
Right, and back to this DOJ, just briefly. They give a whole paragraph real quick. This is something they removed from the website. Was after cultivating a relationship with children and endangering a false sense of trust, the trafficker will begin engaging the child in prostitution and use physical, emotional, and psychological abuse to keep the children trapped in a life of prostitution.
Wow. All right. I guess we have to go to a break now.
And it was Sandra Bullock on Ellen. I just sent you the video. We'll have that on the other side.
Wow. Yeah. And with that, we'll take a break. We are going to change gears a little bit after the break. We do have a guest in the studio, so we'll see you in about 3 minutes.
Early one morning while making the rounds, I took a shot of cocaine and I shot my woman down. I went right home and I went to bed. I stuck that loving 44 beneath my head. Got up next morning and I grabbed that gun. Took the shot of cocaine and away I run. Made a good run, but I run too slow. They overtook me down in Juarez, Mexico. Laid in the hot joints, taking the pills. And walked the sheriff from Jericho Hill. He said, Willie Lee, your name is not Jack Brown. You're the dirty hack that shot your woman down. And yes, oh yes, my name is Willie Lee. If you've got a warrant, just to read it to me. Shut her down because she made me slow. I thought I was her daddy, but she had five more.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Are you okay with Gavin Newsom selecting your next supervisor? Stand with Kevin Cry and keep him in office. Please join us for a fundraising dinner and live auction on August 5th at the Senior Citizen Hall in Reading at 2290 Benton Drive. Tickets can be purchased in person at Ninja Coalition in Jones Fort or by calling 530-776-4790. Get your tickets soon. This event will sell out. To donate or for more information, go to nooncryrecall.com. Paid for by the committee Stop Newsom, No on Cry Recall.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in life-threatening injuries, such as broken bones or head trauma. Many falls are preventable. PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older or persons with disabilities of any age residing in Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, or Trinity counties and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program enables older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA 2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to learn more about the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program.
perfect. We're going in right here with this one. We should just start dancing instead.
So. Okay.
Let the good times roll.
Start or stop.
Do the floss. I see Chris is over here doing the floss.
We'll leave that alone.
We said we weren't going to lead in with that.
We have our guest, Chris Kellstrom, District 5, I believe it is.
Yes, it is.
He's on the Board of Supervisors. Whether he likes it or not.
Well, it's kind of changed since he took office, you know, a little bit.
I demand a recount.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Where do we start with that? I mean,
with that, I'd like to start with the code of conduct.
Yeah, that's a good place.
You know, what do you guys think we start there with at the last meeting about this code of conduct that was presented to the Board of Supervisors, to themselves, to police themselves? I mean, help me out here.
So I saw that as pure virtue signaling. That's all it was. I mean, it's ridiculous. The two that are for this code of conduct, one of them wore a Recall Kevin Cry shirt in the middle of the board meeting, you know, a couple weeks prior. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And it's like, and my favorite part of it is, you know, I said, spoke my piece. I said, hey, my code of conduct is in my heart. It's the way I was raised. It's my integrity. I don't, you know, I took an oath to uphold the Constitution. I didn't take an oath to uphold a code of conduct that is nothing but virtue signaling. And then I had a wonderful young lady go up there later on and just spewing hatred and saying, she had three brothers, and I talked about how I was raised, and she had three brothers, and her dad would have knocked me in the dirt had he been raising me, or something to that effect. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, yeah, who needs a code of conduct? And then as she walked away, she worked herself into a frenzy. And as she's walking away, she's going to the back of the crowd, and she just yells out effers, but says the whole word. And I'm thinking, okay, so you're the one telling me I need a code of conduct. Gotcha. Then let me write that down. I mean, unbelievable.
Well, I believe in free speech for everybody, and it gets messy sometimes. But I think what a lot of these people believe in is they have rights and you don't.
Correct.
And that's really what it comes down to. They can say anything they want, and you know, I had a friend of mine tell me this story the other day about somebody he met about the whole N-word thing, right? And he asked the guy, you know, what does the N-word mean? And why is that a problem? And the guy says, well, because my ancestors were all, you know, slaves, or the slaves and slavery and all that stuff. And he says, okay, but you call us a Nazi. Do you know what's the problem with that? Because the Nazis killed like 8 million people. So it's okay to call me a Nazi and associate me with that, and that's not a problem too, because I think that's a lot worse. But you see, but it's okay for one side to do whatever.
Correct.
And then the other side just has to shut up and take it, you know, and that's why it's so screwed up.
I'm sure their code of conduct, I mean, it was, like I say, it was nothing but virtual signaling. It meant absolutely nothing. I mean, well, what's, you know, Nick Gardner had a good point. What's the fine? Do you have to go pick up trash? I mean, the whole thing is just ridiculous.
What are they going to do? Censor you if they don't like you?
There's already a code of conduct in your little handbook, right?
Absolutely. And there's, you know, there's a code of conduct that you as an adult,
right, yeah,
as a, you know, common-sensed adult with integrity, you already have. I mean,
but
you know,
we want to do it again because we really mean it this time.
And it's so ironic. I sit up there. I mean, so for the record, before a board meeting, okay, I have a cup of coffee in the morning. and I drink a Red Bull on the way to the board meeting. Okay, I know, and I don't drink that.
Keep it safe. You'll be awake.
I do not drink those things at all, except on board meetings days, because the last thing I want to do is yawn when somebody's up there yelling at me for 3 minutes.
Well, when they ask you a question, when they ask you a question, you go, "I had a Red Bull. I want a Red Bull. I'll get another Red Bull."
Yeah. So here's the thing. Then at lunchtime, if we go into lunch and closed session, everybody else gets a salad or a sandwich or whatever they're having for the day. I've requested another Red Bull, so I drink. A Red Bull on the way there and a Red Bull at lunch, and that's all I have, and a cup of coffee in the morning. So my blood pressure is probably like 300 over 200.
That's probably not good. You should probably eat something.
Yeah, I usually don't sleep until Friday after a board meeting. I mean, literally, I'm like the most jacked person in that entire room. Yet, when they're up there yelling at me, you know, and they all got 3 minutes. Right, and there's 12 of them that yell at you for 3 minutes on every single item, no matter what it is. Doesn't matter. Susie Brown might be getting a recommendation for or a proclamation for not calling in sick for 5 years, and they take their 3 minutes to yell at you for it. I mean, so I sit there. Well, I'm not going to look you in the eye when you're yelling at me and berating me and browbeating me. So in front of me on the dais, I have the monitor that shows your picture. I can see you. I can see you yelling at me on my monitor right in front of me. And I have my agenda, and I have my laptop, and, you know, my phone's there, and my notepad's there, and all my stuff's right there. So I look down. If you're going to yell at me, go ahead and yell at me. I'll just look down. Then they accuse me of falling asleep. Supervisor Kellstrom, I have a video of you 7 minutes into the meeting falling asleep. I'm like, falling asleep? I don't sleep till Friday after one of these meetings. I mean, it's just, oh, my God. But, again, you can't make them happy. You know, I sit there and don't say a word. For the most part, I sit there and don't say a word. It's like you have your 3 minutes, you have your constitutional right, and I fully uphold that. But
you don't have, I mean, you have the constitutional right to free speech. That gets ugly sometimes, you know, and that's just the way it is. I think that's protected. But at the same time, you know, it doesn't mean that if you're an idiot or very rude and a jerk that you can't be labeled as a very idiot jerk, you know, and that's really what's going on. It doesn't mean there's no consequences to that.
Right. And again, yeah, and if you want to be an idiot and a jerk and yell and scream at me, that's fine. I mean, I fully support your right to do that. But I'm not going to make eye contact with you and smile at you while you do it. I'm going to look down. I'm going to look at my computer. I'm going to look at whatever, anything at this point. But and then I get accused of falling asleep. It's like, this is so ridiculous, but whatever.
We've been going for a long time, and these are just tactics, you know. I mean, we've seen it over and over again. You know, everybody has rights except when it disagrees with the narrative. And so, I don't know. I think we should probably move on. Let's talk about this voting thing and then the Second Amendment sanctuary stuff, you know.
On the machines?
Yeah, on the machines. So evidently there's a meeting coming up. I'm not sure I want to attend. I know it's going to be videotaped live, you know.
I actually got to talk to Patrick about that because just for the record, the Brown Act violation is outside a board meeting or outside of the meeting. You cannot talk about any county business with more than one other supervisor. So, for instance, we had a fundraiser for Kevin Cry, and Patrick and I put on a lot of fundraisers together, and I told him beforehand, I said, you know, not that we're going to be talking about it. No, it's perfectly legal for us to be there as long as we don't talk about any board messages. But just the optics of the entire thing, I said, I don't want to be in the same room, the three of us together, because I don't want a picture of, you know, somebody taking a picture of Kevin with Patrick and I in the back room, because then everybody was screaming Brown Act violation, even though we're not even talking, whatever. So we worked very hard. You know, we actually had Kevin had to sit outside of his own fundraiser because he couldn't be in. I didn't want him in the room with the two of us.
I get the, you know, the appearance and being above reproach, but it's just gotten so out of hand.
It is.
Common sense is, and you know, I'm at the point where I don't give a flying rip what these people think anymore. I mean, they've just stretched reality, truth, honesty, integrity, honor. They have none of those things, in my opinion.
None.
And so I really don't care what they say at this point. I think the best thing to do is just ignore them and let them implode at this point.
Yeah, and that's what they do. I do ignore them, and I look down and get accused of falling asleep. So, you know, whatever. But, yeah, I don't know. Like I say, the Brown Act, you can be in the same room together. You know, I mean, we were at the Law Enforcement Employee of the Year Awards, and four of us were in there. Well, two or three of us, I think maybe three of us sat at the same table, but you know, again, we didn't talk about anything. We didn't talk about board matters or whatever, and I mean, we just stayed separate and whatever. So you can be in the same room. It's just the optics of it, and usually the accusation is all they need. They'll take an accusation and just run with it. So,
well, I'm glad you clarified that, because with this upcoming meeting, I guess one of my thoughts in my head is, Is all the Board of Supervisors going to attend?
Yeah, I don't know. And I mean, you know, under the Brown Act, they all could attend. They just can't discuss anything amongst themselves. You know, but again, would the optics be enough for that to look, make that look bad? Yeah, it'd probably be enough to make it look bad. So I'll have to talk to Patrick and see, you know, what the plan is, who's going to be there. And, you know, if I have to sit outside and listen to it, I'll sit outside and listen to it, whatever. So,
well, yeah, I'm sure there's a couple of them that won't attend it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think they're going to have pretty tight security up there at this meeting just because they don't want to have any trouble.
And, yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, no signs. And I think they should have a single door entry myself and screen people. And
they probably will.
They probably
will. I'm referring to like Mary Rickard and Tim Garman. You know, they're the ones that are totally against getting rid of the machines and all of that, and they're saying there's no evidence.
Right.
They've never seen any information to show anything
different. It's if you put a blindfold on, like I say, and goes hide in your closet, you won't see any evidence either. You know, but you actually have to go look at evidence to see if there's anything there.
Right, that's the point.
Yeah.
And it's a lot like, you know, during COVID, masks work. There was no evidence that they didn't until later on there was evidence they didn't.
Exactly.
And, you know, and the injection would save you from getting COVID until everybody got COVID after they got it. Well, then it makes the symptoms less and then you can't spread it if you get the, you know, you can still get it, but you can't spread it. Well, then everybody spread it too.
Yeah.
So then,
and now,
you know,
they're dying.
Now the symptoms are, well, the symptoms were less. Well, yeah, okay. My firsthand experience, that wasn't true, but I'm sure there's cases here and there, but whatever.
Tucker's been doing some good stuff on the internet lately. The one he was talking to, I think it was Asia Hutchinson, governor of Arkansas, running for president at this point, zero chance. But, you know, asked him about the COVID thing and all that stuff, and, you know, how many injections did you get, and do you feel any better and all that stuff. So the Asa Hutchinson turns around and says, how many did you get? And he goes, zero. So there was a bunch of us that said that we don't want to do it because we don't trust it. We don't trust our government. We don't trust the science. We don't trust, you know, oh, Donald Trump referred it. Well, okay, what do you think? I trust Donald Trump 100% with everything?
Right.
To make every decision in my life, to be completely, you know, no, I'm not a lemming. I like to examine things and make a decision for myself. It's called critical thinking skills, to make decisions on your own based on relevant evidence. If I'm 65 years old and in dire health, or am I 20 years old and I'm an Olympic athlete? You know, I mean, do I have a better chance of catching it? I mean, there's all kinds of factors, but I want to make the decision. This idea that we're just going to blindly run off the cliff with who's ever in power is absolute insanity.
Yeah, I know. And it's crazy. The same crowd that, you know, back in the 60s were, you know, don't trust the man, dude. Don't listen to the government. Don't trust the man. All of a sudden they're like, trust the man. Take the shot.
Take
the boosters.
Whatever happened to peace, not war?
Yeah, don't question authority.
Yeah, now it's like, if you're not...
Yeah, go along with them. They know better.
Hey, they ain't got enough tanks in the Ukraine right now, you fascist.
Yeah.
You fascist Nazi. You can't... I mean, it's infallible. I mean, I can't even come up with the words to go, how ridiculous. Where does it stop? You just, you know, what are you, blind? You know, and this is all goes back into this blind allegiance to who's ever in power, who you think you're going to get the most stuff from. You know, they got them hooked on the virtual climate change stuff and the virtual signaling, you know, and everything. But it's like, at what point in time do you start thinking for yourself? I don't know.
By the way, I was speaking of climate change, and I was down in a water meeting down in Chico, and the head of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service back in the early 90s, or 91, 92, he was there. He now teaches at, I don't know, Auburn or some big college somewhere. And he was the one that came out with the spotted owl decision. And he admitted at the meeting, he goes, hey, by the way, sorry, that was the wrong decision, so I apologize. You shut down the entire West Coast. You put people out of business.
Right.
I mean, you devastated our economies,
families,
entire cities, towns, counties, and you're sorry. Okay.
And still it's happening
because
of it. We
told you 30 years ago that we needed to thin our forests, that they were all going to burn in the future, and now that they're all burning, well, you're sorry.
I think I remember when all that happened, the crew I ran with, the decision that we made was, does it taste like chicken or...
Spotted owl.
Spotted owl.
Yeah.
because I was logging back then, and all the loggers knew it's complete bull.
Yes.
Crap.
Yes.
They don't live in old growth forests. They live everywhere.
I mean, and they also knew it was going to make our forests much more unhealthy than they were. I mean, it's, you know, you have a garden, you go pull weeds. I mean, it's real simple. You know, you let it all get overgrown, you don't have much of a garden anymore. So, but hey, he's sorry now, so that's cool.
Well, I see so much unhinged rhetoric that has no basis, and it's like the old Alinsky thing, just call names, everybody names, and it's all about riling everybody up and getting them angry. That's what it's really about, I think, most of the time.
Splitting them into groups.
Splitting them into groups. That's why you're far left, you're far right, you're...
Mega right.
It's like they all call me a far right guy, get it in the newspapers, like, wait a minute, you don't even know who I am. You know, you don't even know where, I didn't even vote Republican until like 08 or something. I was registered as a libertarian. I didn't even, Donald Trump was a Democrat. I mean, come on, guys. It's
and they all loved him when he was.
Yeah, until he ran for office and decided that he was going to stop all these foreign war things. And then all of a sudden the machine came out against Donald Trump, industrial complex, if you will, which is why we're having a problem right now. Because if you go to Ukraine, what's everybody, let's just keep sending them money, you know.
Now we're going to send them bombs and stuff. I mean, come
cluster,
on.
Cluster
man,
bombs are
all
right. You got an administration that's overriding the Supreme Court with decisions. They're doing everything on their, they're just, executive fiat. But that's all good.
Well, and interestingly, too, there was talk of cluster bombs being used like last year, and we actually from the White House said that that may be a war crime based upon them using that.
Who blew up Nordstrom pipeline?
And it's banned in a bunch of different countries. Yeah. And the reason being why they're banned is they're an indiscriminate target weapon.
They kill everybody.
But here's the problem. They have anywhere from 2, which a lot of ours have about 2% unexploded munitions. Theirs have anywhere between 2 and 30% unexploded munitions.
So they're the gift that keeps on giving is what you're saying.
Exactly. So you bomb an area, and for the next 100 years, you got kids that are walking over those mines and blowing themselves up because they don't know they're there.
But the people are for that, right? I mean, isn't that – I mean – And Carlson did it pretty good. And I'm not a huge Tucker Carlson fan. I never have been. But I'll tell you what, since they pulled the leash off, he seems like he's had a come to Jesus meeting here a little bit. You know, he asked him, it's like, this guy the other day, I think it was
Pence.
You know, what's the problem? You want to send all these tanks and everything to Ukraine, and our cities are imploding. You know, there's homeless everywhere. The economy, despite the fact that the mainstream media keeps telling us it's great, and the stock market is the only indicator that things are bad, okay, except that if you just keep printing money and buying stock, you're creating a bubble that's going to burst at some point. You just can't make this stuff up. So, you know... I guess I'm ranting.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, after a while it gets to you, but we're going back to these guys that are like, make no sense. There's zero common critical thinking sense.
Yep.
So
it never enters in their equation. They don't care if it makes sense.
But they're the smart ones.
They just want to try to make your life miserable and point the finger at you and take the heat off of them. Because they're doing what they accuse you of doing
projection.
Most of the time.
Exactly.
Sure, that's what
they're
good at.
Remind me, I want to say something after about projection. But I went to Indoctrination U. And, I indoctrinate you. And so I got a degree in that.
And before we get to our caller, never mind. We'll go to the caller. Okay. I'll bring it up later. Richard, are you there? Richard.
Yes, this is Dick.
Oh,
Dick. He's going to call it about the survival conference.
You've got tickets.
There.
Yeah, I'm calling about it. I'm out here at the Anderson Fairgrounds, and there's an event out here, and I think they gave it the wrong name. I called in at 9:30 at KCNR, but they called it Northern California Community Outdoors. But I think the indoor, there is outdoor stuff. They got a water slide and stuff. But we're in the Lassen buildings, air conditioned. There's vendors here, and it's a free event. And I'm here with the California Rifle Pistol Association. We have a special raffle going on. You buy this folding knife for $20, and you get a free chance to win a Glock pistol that's provided by Jones's Fort. And anyway, we're only printing 100 tickets, so it's a great chance to win a handgun. But anyway, the event is free, and it's not outdoors, so I think a lot of, you know, this is the hottest weekend so far this year, and people don't want to go outside and mess around. But so I think they're afraid of the name they give this event. But it's at the fairgrounds, and it's over at 4 o'clock. It's free, so come on down.
Hey, Dick, I'll head down there when I leave here. I'll come down there and buy one of those tickets from you and see you.
How much are the tickets?
$20. And you need a knife.
All right, I'll give you $20, and okay. He'll bring my $20 to you, Dick, too. I saw your email, but I got so busy I forgot to answer it.
Yeah, me too. I saw
but
that.
Anyway, we're only going to give 100 tickets, that's all. And there's six different Glock pistols. There's three 9mm and three models of .40 caliber. Or you can make a deal with Patrick Jones at the store and for any gun you want.
Hey, Dick, put down last Saturday in September. I'm gonna make an announcement here pretty quick, but write that in your calendar because I'm gonna need you, buddy.
Okay.
All right.
I'll see you, Chris.
All right. Talk to you later, Dick.
Right. Hey, Mark, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Let me butt in there. He didn't mean 40. I don't think he did. Did he say 40 millimeter?
No, no, 40
no, caliber. No, he said 40 caliber.
Oh, I got it.
I don't think they sell the ammo for the 40 millimeter.
Smart caliber or 9 millimeter.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dick.
Yeah. So, he said 40 milliliter or
earlier. Yeah. So I
looked a little bit different.
I alluded to Dick there. So September 30th, I want to make an announcement. So Preston Sharp, Flags and Flowers kid, young man, Shasta County hero right here. We're going to do another fundraiser for him on Saturday, September 30th, Anderson VFW Hall. Same thing, doors open at 4:30, somewhere in there, and dinner at 6. We'll have live auction the whole bit. So we have
always good times.
We haven't even printed the flyers yet, but we've got the venue and we've got the caterer set aside, and so we've got everything going. So we will get the flyers out there and start spreading the word. But you heard it here first. September 30th, Preston Sharp fundraiser, Anderson VFW.
Very good. Awesome. Let's go to a break. We're almost at the top of the hour. Yeah, so we'll go to a break.
You know, going back to the right and the left and all that and voting, you know, that makes it better. California, if you want to vote in the primaries, you have to choose one or the other party, which really bites.
That's the only reason I went Republican.
Yeah, that's why I'm a Republican, quote unquote.
But
you're
MAGA. You're MAGA.
Now, here's what's interesting to me, and I think that it should be the old days ways. Because right now, you have no representation for one side in the White House, and coming up, they're probably not going to have any representation either. Most of the old elections, the way it was, is the person who got the second most votes was the VP. And so you still had representation. You had way less partisan party lines that were there. That's a huge problem.
Well, you didn't. The second place person didn't become VP. You had separate elections for president and VP, so it wasn't a combined ticket. So you could have a Republican president and a Democratic vice president, or vice versa. So you had separate elections for the two of them, but then they combined the two.
Well, that created problems in itself. There's always a problem because if anything happened to the president, now one party's guy is gone, and then the other party's in there. That doesn't make any sense either. So I don't know. I'm not sure what the answer is here. I know the answer is not consolidate all the power into the executive office.
No.
that seems to be the answer that we are getting all the time right now.
Why can't they just put everybody on one ballot?
I don't know. Why don't we just do hand
counts? Everybody for who? Yeah.
For office, not, Democrat or Republican.
I'm not sure what you're saying.
Well,
I think they do.
No, they don't. They don't always do it because you don't always get the other side if you're a Republican.
Well, during the primary.
Oh, you're
okay, I see. Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So why not put everybody on one ballot and we hand count them?
They used to. They used to do that. In the primaries, because you could go in the primary. If you're a registered Republican, you could vote for a Democratic candidate in the primaries, but now they've changed that.
So this was Aaron Burr, this former Vice President Aaron Burr usually isn't credited as being a founding father, but there is one instance where Burr directly helped to change the Constitution by impelling the passage of the 12th Amendment after the constitutional crisis created in the 1800 election. On June 15th, 1804, New Hampshire voted to ratify the 12th Amendment, and after it was passed by Congress on December 9th, 1803, New Hampshire assured the amendment's addition to the Constitution as the 13th state approving the text. The Constitution originally ratified 1788 allowed for the presidential electors to cast two votes. The candidate with the most votes became president, and the second-place finisher was named vice president.
Yeah, but that's the Electoral College, too. That's not the individuals, what that sounds like, because it says the electors, and that's different.
I don't know. With that, we're pretty much at the top of the hour. Yeah. We will pick this up on the other side. You are listening KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. A message from former President Donald Trump.
16 months from now, each of you will vote in the most important election of your lifetimes. This will be the most important election. With your country, your freedom, and your future on the line, we are in trouble. This country is in trouble.
He made his remarks at a conservative youth gathering in West Palm Beach, Florida last night. Right now, the polls indicate that 2024 will most likely be a rematch between Mr. Trump and President Biden. The first phase of Ukraine's counteroffensive to recapture Russian-occupied territory after more than 16 months of war began weeks ago with little fanfare. Since then, Kiev has claimed its troops are advancing, but it has not offered any details about how the counteroffensive is going. The fighting in Ukraine's east and south is taking place mostly out of the sight of impartial international observers. Meanwhile, there are some problems developing in the Black Sea Grain Initiative.
Agreements that the UN and Turkey brokered with Ukraine and Russia to allow food and fertilizer to get from the warring nations to parts of the world where millions are going hungry have eased concerns over global food security. But they face increasing risks. Moscow has ramped up its rhetoric, saying it may not extend the deal that expires on Monday unless its demands are met. That includes ensuring its own agricultural shipments don't face hurdles. The Black Sea Grain Initiative has allowed 32.8 million metric tons of grain to be exported from Ukraine since last August. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
South Korean rescue workers have pulled several bodies from a flooded tunnel where 15 vehicles were trapped in muddy water as days of heavy rain have triggered flash floods and landslides and destroyed homes across the country. Flooding and landslides have killed at least 33 people. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. And in the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-626-5252. That's 800-626-5252. 800-626-5252.
The European Union has signed a free trade agreement with New Zealand that the two sides expect will increase bilateral trade by up to 30% in 10 years.
The New Zealand government said it expects to gain up to $1.1 billion in exports to the 27-country bloc every year. The European Commission says the deal, brokered over 5 years, will cut $153 million a year in duties. The deal is yet to be ratified by the two sides' parliaments, and a start date has not been set.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Iraq's prime minister is holding talks with Syrian President Bashar Assad in Damascus during the first trip of its kind to the war-torn country since the 12-year civil war began. Iraq and Syria have had close relations 4 years, even after many Arab countries withdrew their ambassadors from Damascus and Syria's membership from the 22-member Arab League when the war started. News and analysis at townhall.com. A former head of the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission has been found guilty on federal fraud charges.
Arlen Kelly is one of several city employees felled by the public corruption probe that has ensnared more than a dozen former officials and contractors. A jury found that Kelly tried to steer a city streetlight contract to a local contractor in exchange for discounted construction work on his home. The probe started in 2020. Jason Walker reporting.
Today is Sunday, July the 16th, and a number of notable people are celebrating a birthday today, including two NFL Hall of Famers, Coach Jimmy Johnson and running back Barry Sanders. Johnson is 80, Sanders 55. International Tennis Hall of Famer Margaret Court is celebrating a birthday today. She is 81. Violinist Pinchas Zukerman has 75 candles on his cake. Will Ferrell is 56. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Joe Biden.
Sure, how to walk like a Joe Biden. Should I just trip forward on the cords and hit the floor?
Somebody had put together a compilation of Joe Biden and stairs, and it just starts off to where he falls. Round one, fight! Round two, fight! Final round, finish him!
It's really getting pretty obvious at this point to anybody who's looking that Joe has some serious issues. You know, I saw a report this morning.
Well, then just quit looking, Mark.
Oh, that way, if you don't take any facts into consideration, you can just go swimming.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. With the kids at the pool.
Oh, please. No.
Hairy legs.
No, don't go there. No. No, 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 no.
I got hairy legs.
Gross.
Where's Corn Pop?
He's a bad dude.
Hey, you want to have a push-up contest? It is, I mean, you cannot make this crap up. And the thing is that if this had been anything on the Trump side, you would never hear the end of it.
Well, like this one here. This would have been national news. You would have heard it everywhere. Biden Commerce Secretary's email hacked by Chinese cyber spies. It has been revealed that email accounts belonging to Commerce and State Department employees, including the Commerce Secretary, Gina Romano, were breached by Chinese cyber spies. The foreign hackers were able to access inboxes of accounts in question for over a month before the problem was detected and dealt with, according to officials. The U.S. safeguards identified an intrusion in Microsoft's cloud security, which affected unclassified systems, National Security Council Adam Hodges told the Washington Post. That would be nationwide.
Hey, you can't hack anything. You can't hack voter machines. You can't hack nothing. Come on. You can't hack. There's everything's secure, right? I suggest that everybody needs to go back on Thursday and Friday and watch Dan Bongino's show. And I'll tell you what, if it doesn't make the hair on the back of your neck stand up a little bit, then you're not paying attention. I'm not going to go into it, but go watch at least one of those shows Thursday and Friday. Seems like there's things that are a brewing there with the Chinese and a few other things. So let's.
I'm laughing because I just talking about Chinese, about Janet Yellen and her psychedelic mushroom she ate in China.
I saw that.
She ate psilocybin in China?
Yeah.
Wow, that's not like regular. That's not like regular takeout. That's like. It's like, could I have some mushu mushrooms? You know, the kind they pick.
Wow.
Grow. I don't know. It's like.
What else was she doing in China if she's eating the mushrooms like that?
I don't know.
Anyway.
Playing White Rabbit and listening to Jefferson Airplane? I don't know. Let's get back to sanity.
Okay.
We can talk about a race that was not hacked. Well, it kind of was, but. So I was at Manton Festival yesterday, Manton Parade, and they have an honorary mayor's race. So I think there was two dogs, a couple kids, a donkey, and another guy that were all running for the mayor's race.
Who won?
And, well, the dog was in the lead. At the very end, he was in the lead. So
you know, they actually elected a dog for mayor down there in the Bay Area. I'm trying to think of the... across in the East Bay. It was a black lab.
I do remember something about that.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the town.
It probably
right there by
did
Fremont.
Better than most.
Well,
it
was
the
right there by Fremont, and he was honorary mayor for like 10 years or something.
Well,
that's the right approach.
The rescue dog Fudge was in the lead, but Fudge's dad or Fudge's father or human, whatever you want to call him, he made a phone call because he said, hey, the kid's got to win. So there was an out-of-town resident that was traveling, so he said, hey, you need to make a donation to get the two kids. So now the honorary mayors of Manton are Denny and Maisie. So they are the honorary mayors of Manton. It was great. It was just, boy, you talk about hometown, small town.
Yeah,
it was
that.
So fantastic.
I want so bad to get back to this.
Oh, it was great. Manton is like Cottonwood. We're half the town's Tehama County and half the town's Shasta County. And anyway, so I'd gotten to talk to some people up there that were putting the parade on, and one thing led to another. And I said, well, you want the Shasta County supervisor in your parade? I'll come up. So, you know, another very good friend of mine in Cottonwood has a beautiful 62 Nova convertible. Nice. So she drove up and took us around on the parade route. And I mean, I think we had a road grader and a tractor, a couple side by sides. it was so much, a bunch of kids on bikes and
nice.
The kids rode to the bottom of the hill, and then kind of the parade was kind of over, and some people turned around and drove back up the hill, and some people left. And I think the road grader might have went to work. I'm not sure, but it was.
Went to work.
And then we had a little fundraiser and auction after that. And I mean, it was, you know, pulled pork sandwich. It was fantastic. You know, raffles. I mean, it was just a great day. Gosh,
yeah,
darn.
I just wish we could get back to that stuff. I really do. I mean, I'm so tired of this political fighting and infighting and backstabbing.
And a lot of it, they're just using to keep us separated, really.
Well,
that's the whole thing.
It's all about the division. That's the whole point, is keep the right and the left fighting, the blacks and the whites, the gays and the straights. I've been saying this for how many years? You know, I mean, it's divide and conquer is the strategy, because as long as you are fighting amongst yourselves, you don't look at what the real problem is, which is government is out of control at the federal level, the state level, and at the local level in a lot of cases as well. I mean, that's the only reason you guys got in there, is people just got sick and tired of
Did you see where somebody
dynasty
wrote
that
the rest of us want to get rid of the government totally at the county level, like the Board of Supervisors? And that's not what we're after
crap.
At all.
It's total crap. You're anti-government. You hate the government.
Yeah,
you wanna...
exactly. It's like, no, we don't like big government.
I like
rid of all government.
I like appointed government, personally.
I like limited government.
Limited government.
Fiscal responsibility, individual rights, following the Constitution the way it was intended and written, so that the people are the power in the political spectrum, so that they monitor what the government is doing to them so that they don't get out of control. Because that's exactly the opposite model of what they're looking for.
Well, and so there's, in regards to the division, in regards to the collapse of society, there's a very, very big story that is really being talked mainly outside of the United States, but not in the United States, having to do with the BRICS currency. So 41 countries are ready to accept the BRICS currency a month before the summit. The list is ready for the BRICS alliance to accept the new currency is growing from a set number of 19 countries in April. The numbers have spiked to 41 by the end of June. A total of 22 new countries expressed interest to enter bloc and ditch the U.S. dollar in 2 months. BRICS is an acronym for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The decision to expand the alliance would be jointly taken for the BRICS summit, and the bloc could soon become BRICS Plus.
So what they're looking to do is they're putting together a gold-backed currency, whether it's digital or regular paper.
It appears to be digital at
this
point.
That's what the word is.
And the CBDCs.
They're supposed to be introducing it in August, but that would be...
they're going to introduce that in this country this month.
Well, what I'm
CBDCs
so what I was going to say is that they're going. That's going to be in direct conflict with the CBDCs of this country and the Fed, and that's the problem. Is now you've got competing currencies, one backed, one's not, and I think that ours is fiat, but that might be why we're in Ukraine and fighting Russia at this point. You know, I mean, there could be correlations, but
I think there is a lot of it. But for me, I really have to wonder and I have to question if this is all staged on the world event and if they're all playing us and they're getting exactly what they wanted. Because how do we go from being a world superpower in 2020 to you're going to own nothing and like it in 2030? They've been pretty clear, pretty open about that. Well, they said in an article, and I believe it's 2016 on Facebook, that they ended up pulling that world would no longer have America as its leading superpower. You'd have four countries that basically ended up ruling the world. And they're pretty wide out and open about that fact.
I think the thing that we can do about all this is to do exactly what we're doing, is get control.
Bring it back local.
You got to bring it back local.
Yep.
You've got to get self-reliant locally. You've got to get... producing locally, you've got to get control of the government locally. That's the only way you're going to win this thing, because it's just like, talking about the elections and this election, hand counting and stuff, and they're trying to pass a law, AB 969 down there in Sacramento, to say that the government, or the governor, Gavin, is going to not let anybody do hand counts anymore. And gee, that's not usurping the power of the people, is it? I mean, that's not taking over. That's not passing it up to unelected or bureaucrats that at this point in time, if you control all the elections, like Stalin said, it doesn't matter who votes. It matters who counts the votes.
Right.
I mean, that's right out of the communist playbook. So do we even believe at this point with these elections and so forth that Gavin was actually not recalled? I don't.
He's done so many things because of Shasta County. I mean, we are rent space in his head for free, for sure. So, you know, the windmill project is a perfect example. I mean, before my time, you know, five planning commissioners said, no, we don't want these windmills. Four of the five supervisors said, no, we don't want the windmills. One of them listened to his donors. He's been since been recalled. So absolutely against it. Smartly.
I don't know.
There with the mics.
Something happened on his mic.
Oh, now you're back.
Oh, okay. Oh, I think they were just swapping out. It was Liam.
Oh, okay. All right.
So then very smartly, the Board of Supervisors, again, previous to me, they rezoned the entire county so that it's not zoned anywhere in Shasta County for industrial-sized windmills. So, okay, problem solved. Well, then comes AB 205 that says we don't give a darn, we give a rat's butt what you guys think. We'll put our windmill farms and our solar farms anywhere we damn well please. And now the Hatchet Ridge Windmill Project is back online. So they had reached out to me and wanted to talk to me. And so I told him, I said, you got an uphill battle, but I'll talk to anybody. I mean, I'll sit down and talk to anybody. Oh, we just want to explain the truth. We know Patrick and Mary's a hard no. I said, I'm pretty sure the whole board's a hard no, but I can't speak for them all. But, I'll gladly sit down and talk to you. So my first question sitting down with these two guys, or three guys, but two of them I hadn't met before. I said, so where are you from? Are you from around here? Oh, no, I'm Houston. I live in Houston. I said, okay, where are you from? from? Well, I live in Houston, too. I said, oh, okay. He goes, I'm originally from Colorado. I live in Houston now. Oh, okay. And I'm thinking, yeah, you're going to come up here and scar our beautiful piece of God's paradise. You're going to put these monstrosities that are a complete joke. You're going to, you know, fill Hatchet Ridge with them. I mean, hundreds of them. And then you're going to go back to Houston, and you never have to look at this again. And we're going to be sitting here for decades having to deal with this. They break down. We have to bury them. There's no, you know, you don't fix them. You don't recycle them. I mean,
what do you do with them when they break?
They bury them.
You bury them.
Bury them.
How do you bury something?
Somewhere in Wyoming or
Montana? Montana and Wyoming, they've been doing them for years out there. And now that they're all breaking down and not working anymore, literally the only way they get rid of them is they dig giant trenches.
So are these projects supplemented by the government?
Federal government, absolutely.
That's,
See, there's your problem right there again.
Well, and also, too, I was watching just the other day, and you've got these windmills that a lot of times when they fail, and they do quite often, they light on fire. So, all right, now you've got a whole big old windmill that's on fire and spreading fire, at least in this case, all around on the ground below it. Where's your global warming?
Now you can't bring an air tanker in to drop borate on it because you got 900-foot tall windmills there with blades turning around, and then even the firemen, they can't really get in there with their equipment because you've got these giant blades turning, and it's just an absolute ecological
nightmare. It's all because we need to change the climate, right?
And at this point, just heck with the birds. I mean,
birds. That's another thing. So when they measure how many birds are killed, they go 50 yards outside the base of the windmill.
How does it kill a bird? I mean, I get that thing is spinning fast around at the end there, but you would think that a bird could get out of the way.
Yeah, you know, they hit them all the time. I mean, just like birds fly into your windows at your house. Yeah. I mean, you know, they call them bird brains for a reason. I mean, they're not, you know, I mean, birds are magnificent and I love them, but they're not the sharpest tools in the shed necessarily. So yeah, they hit them all the time. And so what they do is they count the amount of birds 50 yards around the base of the windmill. Well, windmills are 900 feet tall. So, you know, they clip an eagle up there at 900 feet in the air. That thing may land a mile away by the time it hits the ground. So they don't count those birds. Those birds aren't counted. So there's all sorts of things that they do. You know, a long time ago, a friend of mine told me, figures don't lie, but liars figure. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say to that. I just feel, I'm kind of numb at this point. You know what I mean? I'm a little bit stunned at the fact that, you know, that anybody would want to let go of local control at this point and just hand it over to an elected people.
Well, we don't. Our governor wants to take local control away from us.
But if people realize it, how many counties? 52, 57,
58 counties in California.
If people, if they realized that they took it back in each county, how much power we would have? We wouldn't be the lone person.
So you could do
there.
The same thing in theory on the voting thing too.
Was the thing when we got rid of Dominion. I mean, I talked to quite a few people in neighboring counties. They're like, "Hey, I want to talk to you about how you did that." Da da da. Now
we got to go to a break here, so let's go to a break and then we'll come back real quick.
We do. We're like 9 minutes from a break.
I think that's what the signal I get.
Wait, I might be wrong. Do you guys take breaks at the 20 or the 30?
30.
Oh,
yeah, okay.
Ignore me.
Okay. All I saw was the signal, and then I was like, what? Okay. So go ahead. Dominion voting machine.
You know, once we got rid of Dominion and we were working on getting that hand counting in there, the hand tabulation, then at that point, had we gotten the new system in place, then every other county could have easily just said, okay, we got rid of Dominion, we'll get this new hand counting one. Well, so they started changing laws there where now you can't get rid of an electronic voting system until you have another one in place.
Right.
And oh, by the way, the one you're trying to put in place, we're going to try to outlaw that and make it, you know, that it doesn't work. I mean, it's they're doing everything they can.
So the recourse is basically if they pass the laws, give them the big middle finger. Is that what we do? I mean, do we vote? I mean, what about a charter city? I mean, is there
charter
county?
Oh, they tried that before.
Charter county.
Yeah.
They would have to appoint a committee to do that. I know they looked into it before, like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, and we've got a new CEO now, and that's one of the things that, you know, we would like to start working on, and I believe he already is. But I think that another supervisor has probably been kind of working with him and looking to see what, you know, how can we, if we make this a charter county, do we have more room? Do we have more autonomy? You know, I mean, autonomy. I mean, do we have more power? You know, what does it entail? So there's several charter counties out there now. Some of them are better than others. So, you know, who knows? If we can somehow get some more rights or hold on to the rights that we have, then let's do it.
Again, if you take it back to each county
and
you tell the governor, you know what, we're not complying. We're not going to do this.
Yeah.
Even if you had half of the 58.
Do you know what I think?
Go away.
I think if you have an election that hand counts and the differences are shown to be dramatic, from what we've been having, I think you got all the evidence you need right there. Because if it's such a big difference that, you know, it turns over all these people that have been winning right and left that seem to be on the same side, even though they're both conservatives and Democrats that are all being supported by the same Sierra Forward people, because they're all just conservatives. Or no, wait a minute, are Democrats? I don't know. It's kind of like being, you know, a mulatto. Are you black or white? You know, I mean, what is it? So I don't know. I mean, it's a bad example, but what I'm saying is that. I'm not sure what I'm saying.
I want to go back to the Dominion voting machines. Yeah. You know, they say that it's costing the county all this money and they were all this good. You know, the CEO of the machine company said, we're going bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my question is, if we still had them in place and we were relying on those machines, one, the company's no longer here. Two, what about software upgrades? We all know anything like that has to have upgrades. So if you don't get the upgrade, it doesn't work right. If it doesn't work right, it doesn't count right.
California just decertified one of the other three machines that they you know, acknowledge or have approved because they are subject to manipulation. So now they don't have time to get the new systems in place, so they're going to let them use them during the primaries, but they're going to have them in place by the next general because, and I think it's like 38 counties, and I forget which one of the other two it is, but California just said we're not using those anymore. So,
so to dispel the myth, okay, so we've got stones on the line.
Yeah, we do.
I just want to ask the question real quick of, is hand counting cheaper than the machines?
It always was in the past.
How could it be different now?
I don't know. And that's, you know, I know they used one of the examples and they said, oh, well, you know, 30 years ago, you know, Shasta County only had 45,000 voters. Okay, well, we have twice that many now, so why does it cost 500 times as much? If we counted them at, you know, this rate 30 years ago and there was 45,000 voters and now we have 80 or 90,000 voters, why is it 500-fold difference? It should be just twice as much.
Because it's harder to cheat.
I'll even give them three times as much. Let them have three or four times as much. But why 500-fold?
Yeah, let's go to the phone.
We've got Stones on the line. Good morning, Stones.
Yeah, hello. Good morning, everybody.
Hey, what you got?
Last weekend I was on the Saturday radio show talking about separating our countywide races to a separate ballot. I did not get all the information out in that short 45 minutes. Next weekend, I'll be doing a Mountaintop Media podcast as long as it takes, but I'll try to keep it to an hour. I'll have a full PowerPoint presentation with the full information, pros and cons, on separating our countywide ballots. that's the only way we're going to save our countywide elections, because even with hand counting, and I'll detail this, even with the hand counting, there's still the harvesting. There's still the gazillion ballots printed and floating out. There's still the ballots that you can print at home. So even hand counting by itself is not going to save our countywide elections. It is not going to happen. There's way too much fraud in the state and federal laws to further the fraud. Anyway, so next weekend I will put that out far and wide. And then the goal is to hopefully convince our supervisors to separate our countywide races on a separate ballot in a separate envelope and have separate policies and procedures. And I'll detail it quite extensively. And we have time. We do have time to do this prior to the March primary, but we have to act now.
All right. Cool. Well, we'll be looking forward to that podcast. I appreciate the call in, Rich.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
All right.
Okay. So I guess it's probably time to go. Well, no, we got 3 minutes.
We got 3 minutes. I thought we had the primary in November, not March. Isn't the vote?
No, primary's in March. We have an election in November, the recall election, I think, for I think the Gateway is on
November.
Oh,
is that it?
Yeah.
I got a little confused with that.
So it seems like we have an election every Sunday.
I know. It's like it's hard to keep track of it. So when he was saying separate ballots,
I think he's just talking about just the county races themselves, separate. I don't know what that all entails.
Yeah.
We'll have to see what he's talking about when he presents his evidence. Because I don't know. I mean, we get so overwhelmed with so many things. Which ones you want to tackle first, you know, and which are going to be the most effective, I think, is the question, you know. I think right now people should be really considering becoming self-reliant, considering everything that's going on in the world out there. And I think that you might want to be storing some food, and you might want to have some backup provisions, and you actually might want to try to be a little self-reliant, some water filtration, all that kind of things, because I don't think things get better anytime soon. I think things get worse for quite a while, and hopefully we get our country back at some point. But
but let's start in our own backyard.
Well, you have to start somewhere, and the more dependent, you know, that you are on the government for anything, the less self-reliant you are, the less freedom you have, and the less the more dependency, the more control that people can exert over you, period. I mean, it's that simple. And so we're starting to see the trend swinging back the other way. The pendulum is definitely swinging back towards freedom, because people are starting to get a good look at what this other stuff looks like. And it's not friendly or, you know, good for the public or its health or the children or any of it, you know. So
do you think the Board of Supervisors is going to start having more night meetings? I thought there was only like one by the end of the year.
I thought originally the plan was to have two morning meetings a month and one evening meeting a month, and then that evening meeting a month was supposed to be on a Wednesday, because it doesn't fall with Anderson City Council, Shasta Lake City Council, and Reading City Council on a Tuesday night. And I don't know where it got off track, but when the schedule was set, then all of a sudden we have them on Tuesday night, so people can't go to the other meetings, and I don't know. I don't know if we can revisit that and move them around a bit, but my opinion, I would still like to see the two a month in the mornings like normal, and then have one in the evening times. I would kind of like to see that one in the evening maybe start at like 2 or 3 in the afternoon.
That's what I'm thinking.
Get all the county stuff out of the way, because we don't want to make our department heads sit there, you know, for an extra 3 hours, 4 hours, you know, until midnight. Get all the county stuff out of the way, the, you know, proclamations and presentations and whatever, and then move on to the meat, so to speak, with the public comment, right. And so the public can be there, and our department heads don't have to be stuck sitting there for hours on end. So that's what I'd like to see happen.
That's interesting. I guess with that, now we get to take a break.
Now we go to a break.
I think we go to a break now. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Of uncertainty, I want to be in the warm heart of your love and mine. To feel you all around me, and to take your hand along the sand. I bet I may as well try and catch the wind. When sundown pales the sky, I want to hide a while behind your smile, and everywhere I'd look, your eyes would find. For me to love you now would be the sweetest thing. 'Twould make me sing. I bet I may as well try.
Hey there, Marty Mosley here from Mosley Family Cellars. Mimi and I have moved our tasting room back downtown to the corner of Pine and Butte Street across from Corbett's and the Reading Chamber of Commerce. We're open Wednesdays through Sundays from 3 to 7 p.m. and Fridays till 9 p.m. While you're here, enjoy food from the Hearth Kitchen and Pie Shop and munch on some delicious handmade chocolates by Nanette de Chocolate. Come on down and enjoy life with us, Mosley Family Cellars at the historic Thompson House. Come as guests and leave as family.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply, located at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. We are your one-stop shop for everything in your yard. We have all the small rental equipment, like the stand-on mini skid steers to get you through those walk-through gates, or Beretto trenchers on tracks are quick and easy to operate, and the popular Vibra plates for compaction of pathways or prepping for under artificial turf. Make your job easy with the powered wheelbarrow on tracks. And of course, we have all the products to make your yard the envy of the neighborhood, including all the soils, sands, gravels, sod, pavers, retaining wall blocks, and multiple size trucks to deliver with no minimum, making your delivery the most cost-effective way to get your job done. So whatever your project, big or small, Come check out Lauk's Landscape Supply at the intersection of Dersh, Churn Creek, and Airport Road. Find us on the web at laukslandscapesupply.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. Lauk's Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Are Shasta County elections safe and free from hacking? Hi, this is Chairman Jones of the Shasta County Board of Supervisors inviting you to my town hall meeting July 20th, 6 p.m. at the Holiday Inn Convention Center on Hilltop Drive. With special guest Jeffrey O'Donnell, we will prove Shasta County elections have been hacked. Chair Jones, town hall meeting this July 20th at the Holiday Inn, free and open to all residents. If you're interested in Shasta County elections, I invite you to come to my town hall meeting this July 20th, 6 p.m. at the Holiday Inn Convention Center, free and open to all residents.
Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in life-threatening injuries, such as broken bones or head trauma. Many falls are preventable. PSA2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older or persons with disabilities of any age residing in Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, or Trinity counties and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program enables older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to learn more about the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program.
Yeah, there's a heat wave out there. Just saying.
In beautiful Northern California.
Yeah, I heard Sally's Beautiful Day song earlier on. That's Hot Summer Day. You know, I was thinking, yeah, gosh, you know, she thinks a lot like I do.
There are people making cookies and bread in their car.
Yeah.
I think Manton was like a whole degree cooler, so I don't know. It didn't help a whole lot. So
you could be a little messy making bread and cookies in your car.
You'd last at least 20 or 30 minutes out there.
It was still beautiful, though.
We got a caller.
Oh, we do. We've got Andrew. Good morning, Andrew.
Morning. I want to talk about cocaine.
numbs your brain?
Yeah, well, it's good stuff. Hey, so here's the thought. They want to get Gavin Newsom in. They got to get the resident out. With that said, Kamala can't run. Her parents were not citizens at the time of her birth.
That crap doesn't matter at all anymore.
Well, I know we had the Kenyan, and he's going to claim Kenyan citizenship when the hammer falls. Okay, the cocaine in the library with the camel stick and Dr. Mustard.
I think it was the Hunter, actually.
It could have been Kamala, but then, it might be AI, you know, because that stands for artificial intelligence.
Oh, that would be Kamala. Good night. Anyway, they're going to want to pin it on Kamala, but everybody knows it's Hunter's. But that might be an avenue to get her out as VP. Bring in pretty Gavin Newsom as VP, and then, and only then, can they remove the Biden.
Well, his campaign slogan can say, "It's Despicable Me."
You know, I never watched those movies. Thank goodness. No. Oh, did you guys hear the latest? Kamala just broke this week. He was giving a speech in about the green movement and how we want to get everybody in electric cars and depopulate.
Yeah, we want to reduce the pop. Yeah, we got to get rid of a bunch of people. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah,
it's a quiet part out loud.
Yeah, yeah. I think she made a gaffe, but you know, a Freudian slip is probably the real deal.
I don't think so. She didn't stutter. I saw the video.
Hey, we're talking about Kamala Harris, who says that AI stands for artificial intelligence.
Well, again, but back to when she made the statement and reduced population so our kids can have fresh water and clean air to breathe. Now, yeah.
I wonder who's going to volunteer for that program. I mean, any volunteers want to get reduced?
I agree. They should. I absolutely. First in line, take me. Anyway, good show, gang. There's so much going on. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
In the Bible, it said what will be, you know, good is bad and bad is good.
It's true.
And we're living it right now. It's just, thank God I like good Scott.
Amen to that.
Well, anyway. I think the rest of the quote goes, woe to them that say bad is good.
Yeah.
And you know, the millstone around the neck in the deepest ocean.
Yeah, the lake of fire thing, that kind of got my attention, so I don't know, we'll see.
I think we win. In fact, I have no fear in my heart. I really, really don't.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Very good. Hey,
right, thanks for calling.
We appreciate it, Andrew.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Bye. So recent polling shows that 70% of Americans don't want Biden to run for a second term, including more than half of registered Democrats.
He's got full support, right? He'll probably get enough. This time he's going to beat his record of 81 million votes. It'll probably be like 85 million votes because AI stands for artificial intelligence.
They're just trying to figure out how to get rid of him.
Yeah, it's...
how do you get rid of Biden and turn everything over to Kamala?
I don't see it going that way. I mean, Kamala's polling has been abysmal all the way through the campaign. She talks like she is maybe an elementary school teacher. Maybe.
I think she's an elementary school, you know. I think she's a student.
No, like the way she talks like you're stupid.
Like she's more like Romper Room.
AI stands for artificial intelligence, and that's intelligence that's artificial.
Maybe she should have went to China.
I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, like Andrew was saying, the news cycle is just so... I mean, okay, so we got rid of the woke crap as far as the news media. Everybody just decided, hey, fake news is exactly that. It's fake news. Let's move on to actually stories that are actually true and happen and stuff like that. Now we're getting bombarded with crap. And it's like, wow, this kind of blows for my weekend. You know, I wanted to go fishing. Now I can't sleep at night.
We didn't have two Red Bulls either.
I'm not sure if ignorance is bliss at this point because, it's just like coming at us faster. I mean, I'm looking at the story you read. Janet Yellen dined on psychedelic mushrooms in China? I mean, what? So the Secretary of the Treasury is dining on, what? I mean, you just go through a couple of the headlines here.
Chicago Children's Hospital wasn't in the library.
Well, I know.
With a candlestick. So
I'm just going to read you a couple of headlines here, and you tell me if the world has not gone completely nuts.
Transgender.
Chicago Children's Hospital paid employee for drag show in front of children at a public school.
Yep.
Pence's campaign failing so badly he will likely won't hit the donor threshold to participate in the GOP debate.
That one's not surprising.
January 6th, political prisoner, share story with Elon Musk. What was the other one on the political prisoners? I mean, but my point here is that it's freaking – this is nuts.
Well, let's talk about the escalation that took place in Ukraine. So now –
so you're just gonna run with the ball. So it's like a handoff. Right? It's like, you know, down, sit, Dave,
Dave's not here, man.
So this week, Russia ended up coming out and saying that they will consider us giving the F-16 to them as a nuclear threat. Also, 3 days ago, President Biden announced the U.S. military to deploy 3,000 reservists to Europe in response to Russia's invasion in Ukraine. The mission, officially dubbed Atlantic Resolve, aims to enhance the deterrence posture amongst the eastern flank of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. So now we've got troops on the border based upon this.
Well,
does this sound good?
If you know, the whole NATO thing was about if he gets in there, it's World War III automatically.
Of course.
And, you know, and I'll just read a couple more headlines. Seattle public schools offer free sex change services to students without parental consent. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Judge denies Biden request to keep meddling in social media. I mean, so the whole Supreme Court said you can't do it. He just says, oh, we're going to do it anyway.
Well, it's not the first time he did that. I mean, come on, he thinks he can do anything.
California Assembly blocks legislation that would have made child trafficking punishable while life imprisonment. Oh, we wouldn't want to punish these child sex traffickers because that means we might go to jail or something. I don't know. I mean, what the hell?
And the most disgusting thing on that is they don't even call them pedophile and molester, no longer the words. It's now minor attracted to person. They're trying to legitimize that this is a normal...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sexual orientation,
yep.
And it should be accepted. Sorry, they're still pedophiles and molesters.
They're
and
still sick individuals.
Absolutely disgusting.
It is falling apart, though. You are seeing, like, gays
yeah.
against groomers.
Well,
you're
yep.
seeing
yeah,
that
you're right.
LGB, and they're dropping the T. They're not wanting anything to do with this because we're seeing the slippery slope. They're seeing that, hey, we're going to go down this, and this is not going to end well for everybody. But that's where it's at.
Okay, here's a headline. Southern Poverty Law Center condemns Moms for Liberty.
Yes.
Yep.
As a hate group, as they gain, they threaten the leftist agenda, but I guess Antifa and BLM and none of that. So, Moms for Liberty. Okay, say that again. Moms for Liberty is the hate group.
Well, remember the FBI was going to go after the parents at school board meetings
yep.
during the whole
mm-hmm.
COVID thing as terrorists.
Yep.
Well, yeah.
Well, and that was what came out just this last week. In the congressional hearings, the guy ended up saying, yeah, I was pulled off of cases against pedophiles to go after parents attending teacher conference
yeah.
meetings.
Okay, here's another one. Let's have some fun with this, okay? Disney produces cartoon feature Illuminati-style elites drinking blood and sacrificing people.
Cool.
Yeah, let's take the kids to watch a Disney movie. Why
yeah.
not? What's the problem here?
What?
Now, meanwhile, with all this crap that's going on in Russia, U.S. Strategic Oil Reserve, depleted under Biden, won't be refilled during his first term. James Spider Marks, a retired Major General of the U.S. Army, said Northern American energy development is critical to the U.S. national security and the economic and national safety of our allies and throughout Europe. Now, he ended up doing this to keep the gas prices from going up. And now we're not going to refill
well,
them. But
what he's done is he's exposed us to danger is what he's doing. And that's why I go watch that Dan Bongino thing, because what he's saying is that we're going to get a cyber attack and then we're going to get another COVID or some kind of virus attack from the Chinese. That's what he's saying. And so I don't know how true that is, but Bongino's been around a little while. He says he's got some inside sources. I don't know what to believe anymore. All I'm saying is we are in freaking never, never land here.
But if you look at the UN and the WHO and all that, they've said that they are going to have another pandemic
cyber
or another
pandemic.
Emergency. Well, they've been saying that for a long time.
Write
their playbook.
My favorite thing about those oil reserves, if you remember right, is back in the Trump administration, Saudi Arabia was having a little match with Putin and Russia, and they started dropping the price of their oil to where it got down to literally negative numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They would pay you to take a barrel of oil, and Trump would try to get them to stop. He's like, hey, let's stop this nonsense, because, of course, it was hurting our you know, local production or domestic production. So finally I said, okay, I'll just buy it all and fill up the oil reserves with free oil, basically.
And I know. I mean, that's not smart, because Trump's the devil, right?
Of course.
They literally were writing articles about how bad this was.
These people are obviously the agenda. Now Saudi Arabia's in bed with the Chinese as far as yuan and dumping the dollar. But that kind of, so here's my next headline. It kind of feathers right into that. Gates, the WHO. And I didn't say what. I said the WHO. That would be the WHO. Envision future. And this is with Gates, Bill Gates. Future would envision vaccine patches could be mailed directly to people's homes. So you don't have to get the shot. We got patches now.
They put them in your ballot.
Yeah.
Well, and so that was the other thing, is they were talking about genetically modifying plants and lettuce and things like that to make sure you get your vaccines. There was a genetically modified mosquito that was supposedly going to help prevent
malaria.
They're
trying to do the food. In fact, I seen an article this morning where they're standing up in Texas saying, we're not putting in an mRNA
in the cows.
Because they're already doing it in the pork in a lot of the states, if you pay attention. They've been doing that and trying to bring it to whether it's the plants or the beef, all of our food chain.
Right.
They're trying to take it over. We'll get you one way or another. That's why you come back locally. You have to know this stuff.
And then in Reading, here's another one. New climate regulations against hydrofluorocarbons will affect the air conditioners. So now they're going to get rid of our air conditioners as well.
It's only 114 out.
You don't need them. We need them.
So we'll all be riding around on electric bikes with no power, so they won't run. We'll just have to push them, and they're twice as heavy as a regular bike. And we won't be able to go home and get cooled off because the air conditioner, and they'll remove all the dams, and so you'll have to jump in the river, but there will be no electricity.
You can't jump in the river because it's full of all sorts of horrible diseases at this point. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, gee, that's all.
Yeah, the houses
like,
will be floating by because they got
like
rid of the dams.
So now you've got, here's another one. Biden corruption whistleblower. Have you heard about this? Dr. Gal Luft is hit with FBI charges. I suggest you look him, or federal charges.
I haven't.
Look him up, Dr. Gal Luft. He's a guy that was blowing the whistle on the corruption on the Biden industry. On the Biden industry, I mean, that's kind of a Freudian slip, on the Biden crime family. And now he's under federal indictment as soon as he started blowing the whistle because he's got direct evidence of the corruption. He was there. He was in on the conversations. He's saying that he faces charges of arms trafficking. He says he's never even seen a gun in his life. And he said the Bidens had a mole in the FBI. He shared classified information with benefactors from the Chinese state-controlled company CEFC. Left is on the run, saying he's being hunted by the very people who he informed. So
this dude, I mean, he's got some credentials. So Gal Luft, he was born 1966, an American-Israeli think tank director, author, and professional. Luft was a lieutenant colonel in the Israeli Defense Forces and is the executive director of the Institute of Analysis of Global Security and co-founder of the Set America Free Coalition. That's some pretty interesting history.
Yeah, but
for the
guy. Know what they do in Israel to people, don't you, when they don't comply?
They force them to do things? What?
Yeah. They just get rid of you.
So
I would go
back and watch his interview if you have the time, because the guy's totally credible. He's not some nut job, and what he says is, like, pretty hard to dispute. So, and now all of a sudden he's being targeted for arrest for arms trafficking. So that's the environment that we're in, and it's a very contentious environment where people are so screwed up and divided that they're doing everything but going after the culprits who are in charge of everything. And that would be
government?
At the top. Big government, the banks. I mean, what happened to the whole child trafficking thing with J.P. Morgan being involved with Jeffrey Epstein? I guess that just is not a thing. And so I don't know where we're headed, guys, but it's crazy right now. You can't keep up with it.
Well, it's interesting, too. So we had this that was published just 2 days ago that was on Timcast. I don't believe there's a climate crisis, Nobel Peace Prize. Nobel Prize winning scientist says, at Quantum Korea 2023, Seoul Nobel laureate Dr. John Kaser, a CO2 Coalition Board of Directors member, delivered a keynote address bluntly saying, I don't believe there's a climate crisis, as reported by the CO2 Coalition. Kaiser's comments were translated by the organization of the original reporting in Seoul Economic Daily. Kaiser said key processes are exaggerated and misrepresented by up to 200 times. The event was held by the Ministry of Science, ICT, and Future Planning. Kaiser, who received the Nobel Prize in Physics last year, has worked as a researcher at UC Berkeley, said that the world is not experiencing a climate crisis and told the young crowd of scientists and engineer students that Integral Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, is spreading misinformation. It's important to be able to look at a lot of these things because I remember seeing the headlines of 1960s. It's a climate crisis because we're all going to freeze to death. The ice age is coming. And then all of a sudden it's global warming. And then we only have 5 years left, according to Greta, which that tweet conveniently got deleted. And now it's climate change. Well, under the climate change agenda, you basically have a religion that is based upon that, that is all these people donning all these cloaks, and it's the same thing as the olden days when you had the priests and the Templars that were knowing that storms were coming based upon studying it, and then saying, oh, this will happen if you don't end up doing this, and it's a way that they can retain and grow in power and cause you to not have air conditioning, you to not have a gas car, you to not have things that drive people from all kinds of poverty and into places to where they can achieve success.
I think we're going back to the feudal system. I don't know. It's crazy.
We did want to hit the budget a little bit before we get out of here today.
There
was some stuff you wanted to talk about, Chris, in regards to our budget.
Yeah, it was, I personally read every single line in that budget. I mean, every single one of them. We had a couple of pretty big board packets in between over the weekends, but, just found a comfortable spot and sat there and looked at every single line. And, you know, this particular year, we didn't really have a CEO that we could necessarily count on to work with us hand in hand. I think next year we will. Not that there's anything wrong with the last CEO, but, you know, it was kind of more of a status quo type of situation. So, there wasn't any huge drastic changes or cuts, but I did have a lot of questions, and we even caught heat on that. I mean, there's people that were, like, questioning why we would spend 2 days going over a $655 million budget, and we wasted all of our department heads' time. And it's like, I'm sorry. This is taxpaying citizens' money here. I'm gonna look through every item.
Right.
You know, I'm going to have some questions. One of the questions I had, and I'd brought it up, and Erin Bertain, who's kind of our assistant CEO, she's the numbers gal, she's the budget gal. And I mean, I tell you what, you talk about a sharp cookie, holy smoly. When I had my meeting with her, I mean, any question I came up, she was just like, boom, 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 boom. Oh yeah, well they have this place here, and I mean, she knew it all. I did stump her on this one though, so I'm looking at the budget, and one of the items in there in Public Works was elderberry beetle mitigation. So 2 years ago they spent $1,000 on it. Last year they didn't spend anything, and this year it was budgeted for $200,000.
Wow. Well, a little bit of increase.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm sorry, I'm gonna have a question on that. I mean, well, why did elderberry beetle mitigation go to that? So I actually asked Erin, and that was the first one that she goes, I'm not a bug expert, I'm not sure, and, you know, which was amazing, because I'm telling you, that's the only question I'd ever asked her that she didn't have an immediate answer for. But Al Cathy, our public works director, got up there and he kind of had a smirk on his face, and he explained it, and total logical, totally makes sense. So apparently every time Shasta County comes in contact with an elderberry bush, whether they're, you know, if they're like cutting back the roads or putting a new road or, you know, doing brush clearing or whatever, if they come across an elderberry bush, they have to do a study on it to make sure there's not an elderberry beetle, because those are endangered.
Oh.
And even though we have never found an elderberry beetle in Shasta County, you have to make sure that you're not going to kill one if you take out a bush. So the state of California, in all their infinite wisdom, has decided that this year they need to set aside a swath of land with some elderberry bushes on it to make an elderberry beetle mitigation bank. So therefore, that's why it went to $200,000. So, nothing nefarious there, but, you know, I had a question, and it was answered, and it made sense, so, okay, we moved on from there, whatever, but yeah.
So I do have a question on that. So if we're making an elderberry beetle bank, isn't that going to incentivize elderberry beetles to come here and then be in the trees that we then can't cut down?
You'd probably have to ask the state of California that, so yeah, I don't know. But
so what happened? What was the final deal? What did you do? I mean, are they going to cut that from the budget, or is it just...
No, it was actually something that was necessary for them to stay within state guidelines to make the state happy, so they were able to
find
the
funds. But that's
part
of the problem, though. I mean, it's like, why are we doing this?
Yeah, well, because the state was requiring it. So, you know, Public Works, they said, okay, well, this is what we're going to have to do then. So they set aside some money for it.
Is this part of the money strings when they give us money?
We had that going on in Cottonwood. That just happened in Cottonwood, and that project was just pretty much killed. But in Cottonwood, exactly what you're talking about. So this gas tax dollars, you know, this dollar per gallon gasoline gas tax, it doesn't go to fix our roads like they said it would. You know, I get calls. I mean, I just had one on the Manton Parade. Somebody's like, are you going to fix our roads now? I get it. I wish I could fix your roads. But here's the deal. State of California takes all that gas money, and they don't put anything towards roads for vehicles, for cars. They want you out of your car. If you have traffic, a five-lane highway, and it backs up for 12 hours a day, they will not give you the funds to put it in a sixth lane to try to alleviate that. They want you out of cars. But they're all for walking trails and bike trails and all this other stuff.
So that's why we have so many around here, then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically in Cottonwood, a small group of people, I mean, very good, well-intentioned, wonderful people, they wanted a walking path in front of one of the schools. And then that ended up kind of going into this huge called the Cattle Project, and it was ended up being a $14 million grant with a $17 million project. And it was going to be walking trails and bike trails all over through town and, you know, around and go down to Front Street, and they're going to put some cobbles in there and bike racks and, you know, bike lanes. And basically, the majority of people in Cottonwood, you know, I'm sorry, we're not going to go back to 1950, leave it to Beaver, and everybody's going to be riding their bikes to school. It just doesn't happen.
Well, just the
anymore.
Layout of the town mm-hmm. doesn't really,
right.
you know.
So once the county got involved, because this goes through the Shasta Regional Transportation Agency, they're the ones that secure the grants from the state of California, and then they need to be implemented by, you know, Shasta County and Caltrans, depending on, you know, where it is. So once the county got involved, well, then they opened it up to public meeting, and then once the public was there, oh boy, I mean, the pitchforks were out and the torches were lit,
bet.
And it
yeah.
was like, yeah, so it rather quickly ended up getting shut down. It's like, we're not, you know, they don't want to give us back our own money if we don't want it.
Right.
And unfortunately, you know, it would be really nice to say, yeah, we'll take that $14 million and we're going to go ahead and go patch some holes,
put some potholes. Yeah, exactly.
You know, forget
But that's the
trails.
Problem with sending all this money to the state in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah, now you have to beg your own money to get it back.
Right, and then you have to do with it what they want you to do
right.
with it.
Yeah,
know,
that's which, the strings. Yeah, that's control again, big government. All right, I guess we're just about out of time. It's,
thanks for coming in, Chris.
No problem.
Appreciate it.
For having me.
So sorry, we didn't mean to run off down to the conspiratorial trail.
I stayed out of that.
Yeah.
Don't forget this Thursday at 6 p.m. Holiday Inn on Hilltop for the meeting.
All gun controls racist. Have a great week, y'all.
And left me in my stately home, blazing on a sunny afternoon. And I can't sail my yacht. He's taken everything I got. All I've got's this sunny afternoon.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.